Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up in this edition of the TV Black Box, 10's big news con. How they're delivering two different news services at the same time with the same presenters. Plate of Origin is dead as 7 loses faith in what was meant to be the biggest news show of the year and the radical idea to shake up Australian TV forever. Welcome to the podcast where people in the TV industry get their news.
This is TV Black Box, bringing you the inside goss from the TV industry.
Hello and welcome to another big edition of the TV Black Box podcast. I'm Rob McKnight. You can find me at Rob_McKnight. Shrimp Tank is here, also known as Sarah Monahan. Hello, Sarah.
Hello. I come from a free place where I got to massage and got to go out partying all weekend.
Oh, wow.
Lucky you. Malky Malky's here. You can find him at Steve Malk on Twitter.
Sarah, just tell us which hospital we need to send your coronavirus flowers to.
Benjamin J. Norris is the handle on Twitter where you'll find him. Hello, Benjamin.
I also want to be known as the official person running Tristan McManus's fan page from now on.
It's just you, mate. It's just you. Oh, wow. And, of course, we could never forget our own Viscount Brookie. Hello, Stephen Brooke.
Hello, Robert McKnight. How are you?
Mate, I'm good. There is so much to talk about. Let's get into the news topics of the week. And can Seven get out of a contract with Cricket Australia? That's the $82 million question as the company tries to force Cricket Australia to abort the Big Bash League this summer. According to the SMH, the network loses $70 million a year in broadcasting the sport, and sources have told the publication Cricket Australia cannot deliver the quality of schedule the network had signed on for now that the coronavirus pandemic has hit. Brookie, does Seven have a leg to stand on here?
Oh, of course it does. If there's one thing that the virus has shown us, it's that the value of all these sporting rights has severely fallen. Basically, because the sporting codes cannot deliver what they promised. We've seen that with the NRL and the AFL suspended, seasons truncated, State of Origin in the NRL is going to be held at a different time. So the same with the cricket. Seven's not happy with the summer schedule, and particularly with the Big Bash, it feels that it is not going to be what was promised. It thinks that the stars that used to form part of the program in years past, particularly from overseas, aren't going to be there, therefore it's not worth as much money as they paid originally.
This is a sticking point, though, because the stars are not going to be in the contract, presumably. Cricket Australia haven't sold it on a guarantee of certain stars. You certainly can't name stars because you don't know who's going to be injured or who's going to be here in 5 years. So that seems like... I read some media commentaries, Malk, saying that Seven just won out and they're hoping if James Warburton makes enough noise, Cricket Australia will throw their hands in the air and just not want the bad publicity and let them out.
I'll guarantee Seven won out of $82 million a year that they would love to be able to use on other things like paying their debts. It's a real challenging position. The problem for particularly Seven in this argument with Cricket Australia is while I absolutely appreciate they signed the contract in good faith, expecting that they would have, you know, a certain quality of competition, ain't nobody predicted what was going on. And I am absolutely sure within the clauses in the contract that there's all sorts of act of God stuff and all of those sorts of normal provisions for get out of jail free cards and for everybody, not just for Seven, for CA as well. It is, I think, especially given the level of negotiation that Seven went through with the AFL because the AFL wanted to get back on screen so that, you know, blah, 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 they get their money and Seven kept paying up, ponying up the dough, that Seven won't be able to say, well, we're just walking away because this isn't going to be good enough. Cancel the Big Bash League. You're not going to get the stars. No one can turn up to the damn games.
That's certainly true, but we know that Big Bash League didn't perform well for Seven last
year. And that was Seven's fault.
Well, that's a thing, isn't it?
Oh, come on. It was also Cricket Australia's fault. There's two tangoing in this. Because Seven doesn't run the Cricket or the Big Bash League.
Ten made it work,
but Ten made it work with negotiations with Cricket Australia. There were many more matches, I understand, in the Big Bash League this time round. Audiences tired Seven. Of that. No, it's a negotiation between Seven and Cricket Australia. Seven yes. cares about the AFL and its relationship. They clearly don't care that clearly. Much about their relationship with Cricket Australia. So, you know, the cricket is in a state of flux. There's very real questions about whether the Indian Test series can go ahead. I think the sporting codes are vulnerable if you have a very bolshy broadcasting partner. And let's not leave Foxtel out of this equation. They want a rights reduction as well.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you have that a lot of revenue that you are owed and you are having to cut costs because you can't schedule matches the way that you want, and there's a pot of gold provided by your broadcast partners and they are playing bolshy, then I think as a sporting code, you've got to sit up and take notice and attempt to accommodate them in some way.
This is the challenge, though. Seven are the ones that wanted more BBL games. They ruined it. They didn't show all of the games because they didn't have the rights to show all the games, and it clashed with other things. They screwed the BBL up, and that it's now, oh, but you have to cancel BBL, you're not getting the stars. I mean, come on, it just sounds really, really disingenuous.
Thank you. Well, a revamped version of Morning Show Studio 10 has upset viewers so much, Channel 10 has decided to disable comments on Instagram posts and deleted hundreds of comments from Facebook.
What?
The new format, hosted by Sarah Harris and newcomers Tristan McManus, did not appear to resonate with loyal viewers who quickly took to social media to express their displeasure. The comments TV Black Box noticed had been deleted were not offensive, only negative towards the changes. At the time of writing, a Facebook post touting a brand new day had 559 comments, but only 318 of those comments can be seen. Sarah, is it ever a smart move to delete negative comments?
I mean, it's a brand new show, so you've got to give time, especially the new guy, let him come in. Don't let him come into a barrage of negative comments because that's just going to hurt his feelings and nobody needs that anymore. And then the other thing is, basically, the show has turned into what the studio, like the audience, has asked for. Because anytime you make a hot topic or anything controversial, people bitch and moan and create all of these comments about how dare you talk about something without having your token person on there to talk about it. So now they've whitewashed the show essentially and made it boring for the people, and now the people are commenting that it's boring. Well,
she's not being literal. Sarah, I take a couple of issues with that. I think hot topics and controversy is engaging audiences like never before, especially in this polarizing time. The decision 10 have made are about advertisers. They want to create an environment where they give no advertiser an excuse to not put their money with them. What they've ended up with is a bland, boring show. That's not from viewer wants. You look at those social media, and I could tell it was long-time Studio 10 viewers who loved that show with all their heart who were turning on the show today when they posted after episode
People
one.
People don't like change.
It's not just change. All right, before I speak, Ben, you saw the show. What did you think?
Well, I think it's hard for you, Rob, because I think anything you say makes it sound like you are Betty Broderick, you know, just a crazy lunatic that's making comments about the children being looked after by the...
Yeah, he's right.
But I want to say, though, look, I tuned in today and I was so excited, and it kind of reminded me of when I was really excited to see Batman Returns. I was so excited. You know, Michelle Pfeiffer looks so good in the trailer as Catwoman, and... You know, Tristan McManus was my Catwoman. Actually, no, Sarah Harris was my Catwoman. And I just probably got too excited and expected too much. But did I get certain things that I wanted from the show? Yes, Tristan looked great. He looked comfortable. He looked relaxed. Both of them were probably sitting too far apart with too little to do. And I think what the producers were trying to do was allow Tristan to show some of that cheeky side to his personality, which never came. And I know that that will come because, like, I know that the warmth that he has that will resonate with the viewers once they get a chance will be like s'mores around a barbecue, because he does have a lot of warmth to his personality. So I think it is going to come. People coming for this show at this point, and Rob, I have to look at you a little bit for this, it's just very early days, and those people on social media, they do not reflect the general overall opinion, and I will stand by that.
I think you're wrong on that point. Well, look, you're wrong. The people I saw today on Facebook were fans of the show. They weren't coming from a place
people
of hatred.
People don't like
they
change. I'm with Sarah on that.
Well, but that might be...
And it's not fair to judge a show the first day, because nothing's ever great the first day. Every show sucks the first few days. It takes a few days or weeks for people to get into that rhythm, the sync, to find what works, what doesn't work. It's just, I don't think it's fair the first day to just go after something. You have to give it time.
I want to take Ben up on an issue. I have not had one crack at Tristan in anything I have said today about Studio 10. I said on this podcast and said, we cannot judge him on day one, and I'm not. But what I saw today had the depth of a puddle. You know, there was no... Wow.
You can drown in a puddle.
And I think you have some right to that, Rob. Like, I really do. Like, I mean, the post that you did put on TV Black Box did, to me, seem like you were collecting the wood around the fireplace, ready for the fire. And I don't necessarily think that comes from a bad place.
I'm allowed to report on the fact that the network deleted comments because they wanted to change the narrative.
But I just still think it's very early days. And I know, and I just want you to know this.
But this isn't early days for the producers. The producers have been doing that show, some of them, for 7 years. When they produced this show today, they would have known all eyes on them, and it was lazy, boring television. It was embarrassing. And I swear to God, I wish that they had renamed the show, because as far as I'm concerned, Studio 10 is dead, and that was just horrible what I saw today. No amount of reproducing or fixing up or giving time to breathe is going to fix that. A piece of shit, no matter how much you roll it in glitter, is still a piece of shit.
Tell us what you really think, McNaught.
Well,
I'm sorry, but it was woeful.
Don't apologise, because what I want to say to you is... You are a very good friend of mine. You always have my back, and you have so many times over. And this is not me not having your back with this. I'm just saying, when you are the creator and you created Studio 10 into what it is, you are in your right to say they probably shouldn't have pushed ahead calling the show Studio 10. They probably should have renamed it something else. And then maybe in turn that might have given people a chance to get to know this show. And I really do hope... I mean, I'm scared now. I am scared. And maybe that's telling. Maybe that's... more telling about what I thought of them.
What are you scared of?
Well, I feel as though those two look really good together. Yep. And for whatever reason, there was a lot of nerves in today's show. And I just want to give them, because I know those two to be passionate, lovely people who deserve to be fronting a TV show. And I just...
The hosts weren't the problem. They had no content.
But you're right, they probably should have changed the name, because that way it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing that's completely different. It's a brand new thing, and people had no expectations.
Yeah, but, Malk, I'm going to pass this over to you. I don't want to speak about Studio 10 all night.
Sure.
All I will say is that content-wise, they literally, the only things they're allowing them to talk about is viral videos, crocheted hats and, you know, like
Tristan's parents.
Yeah, Tristan's parents. They're not. They've decided they don't want to talk about actual news. That's fine. That's a creative choice that they've made. But there is. They're relying on two people to sit on a couch for 4 hours and chat, and there's nothing to chat about.
4 hours is a long time to not talk about the news topics of the day. And if that's the direction that the new Studio 10 is sailing, then goodness gracious, they are sailing into some choppy, uncharted waters. The challenge for them, certainly out of this morning, and I said as much on the Ben, Rob and Robbo show today, was that it's fair enough to, let's, you know, ha-ha, here's the new guy, let's meet his parents, they're pretty lovely, let's do that for a segment. Not most of the first hour. It kind of wore thin, and it only revealed that, well, where's the substance? You know what? Please, it is a morning television show. I appreciate where we're going to head with Where is the substance?
Morning shows,
to this conversation?
That's a fallacy that they don't have substance. You look at some of the stuff the morning show and Today Extra do. No, but the morning shows, even, and I'm not even going to talk about Studio 10 when I was there. The morning show and Today Extra both have some substance to them. They do talk about issues. They do bring us the news. I think it's unfair to write them off that way.
I didn't.
No, not you, Mark. I was talking in general.
Yep.
Well, we shall see how the ratings go, and it'll be fascinating. I've got a very bad feeling. All right, Oztem has introduced co-viewing to its video player measurement or VPM reporting service. The changes also incorporate BVOD co-viewing on connected TVs and introduces BVOD audience metric. Co-viewing is defined as up to two additional viewers simultaneously watching BVOD on a connected TV alongside the primary viewer. Mock, I've said BVOD a lot of times. Mm. I've said PVMs and ABCs and CTVs. What does it all mean?
M-O-U-S-E. more people watching Disney Plus, Netflix, Stan, Amazon Prime Video. That's what it really means. Broadcast video on demand, BVOD, is what they're talking about there. So this is when people are using the commercial TV networks, systems that allow you to stream and watch their services online using your internet-connected TV, CTV. The challenge about this co-viewing thing is that it's totally based on assumption. So they're suggesting that if, and they can tell this, that if a, you know, a connected TV, a smart TV, is getting a stream from their service, they know that it's going to that kind of TV. What they cannot tell is how many people are watching. So they're making an assertion based on the fact it's going on a big screen TV that more than one person is watching it. I think that's false. Mm. However, that is the path that we've headed down because they need to work out what the numbers are actually going to look like as we move down this VPM model. Sorry, as we move down the Virtual Oz model, which is the combination of overnights, broadcast video on demand, catch up and streaming all rolled into one figure, which is what the networks are going to be absolutely saying, this is the ratings now.
Brookie, there's been a lot of chatter coming, especially from the networks. You know, we've been talking about 7-day catch-up figures and 28-day consolidated and all that kind of stuff. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying they're not going to report on overnights. What do you make of that? Do overnights still hold an important place in Australia?
Well, they hold an important place in the minds of a lot of journalists and networks who want to be able to claim they've won.
Yes.
But it is true to claim a more accurate picture. You do have to wait a bit because, as we know, people don't watch TV all at the same time and all on the night where the first run is. And you can tell in the conversations you have with people, did you catch this? No, I didn't get round to watch it. I do think that where TV is watched most often is obviously sport and news.
Yes.
But also in the reality programs on in the early evening that are family viewing that you watch at home with the kids. I think mm-hmm. that is probably an area where it is accurate to say that there is family viewing, and under the diary system and then the set-top box system, you used to be able to press who was in the room and who wasn't. So you got an accurate
still
picture
can.
Of family
Yeah, you still
viewing.
Can on the black boxes.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So I think that there's a correct assumption being made here that on the BVOD that there are going to be families still watching these services. I think that's a natural assumption to make. And
but not every time.
Correct.
Like,
well,
that's
not
the
every
challenge.
Time. Not every single time. No.
But that's how the numbers are now working.
But this is, I think you can make assumptions and you can probably average it out to provide a more accurate picture. And I tell you what, if the advertisers don't feel that they're getting accurate data and the media agencies don't feel they're getting accurate
yes.
data, then they are going to make those objections pretty clear pretty quickly.
Oh, look, it's still more accurate than diary systems for radio, let's be honest.
Paper diaries,
and,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, at the end of the day, the networks, if they want journos and people like me to stop worrying about overnights, then they need to stop worrying about overnights because they're the ones that will trumpet the block winning when they send out the releases the following morning, and they will be the ones trying to get that headline to keep the momentum going when a show has premiered strongly. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. You can't have it both ways.
Well,
you can't just blame the journos.
Rob, this directly maps onto your previous segment about Studio 10 and social media comments. What is success nowadays? Is it a big ratings figure? Is it a review in an old-fashioned newspaper? Is it comments on Facebook or on Instagram? Because it's not clear anymore. With the ratings, you cannot judge on the overnights because we know that a lot of people aren't watching at that time. And I think social media presents a very distorted view of what the viewing public thinks.
But there is only one measure of success in 2020. It's not ratings, it's revenue. It's the profit each show makes. The world has changed. It is not just about ratings. All right. Managers at 10 have come up with a cunning plan to beam local news into Brisbane and Adelaide from other states, but it comes at a price. TV Black Box has revealed slabs of the news for Brisbane and Adelaide will be pre-recorded to allow for local stories. According to our sources, and this was certainly borne out on night one that I watched tonight, the first segment for Adelaide and Brisbane will be recorded at 4 p.m. Melbourne-Sydney time. This means reporters will be in position for live crosses and local stories will need to be edited in time for the recording. At 5 p.m, Melbourne and Sydney will go live as Adelaide and Brisbane play the first recorded first segment to air. This means the Adelaide recording will go to air 19 minutes after the start of the recording due to the fact Adelaide is on a 30-minute delay due to time differences. Sarah, I watched the Sydney and Brisbane news bulletins tonight and can confirm segment one was completely different in each state. Do you think pre-recorded news is okay?
It is, as long as if there's actually something important that is current and live that they can switch over and have that ability, say there's like a fire or an explosion, something that is immediate and now that people need to know about, that they can break in and switch to that. Otherwise, I mean, most of the time they're rehashing the 6 p.m. news is what they showed at 10 a.m. anyway. So,
yeah, well, there might be some truth in that. You know, I have to put it out to the producers. This was so well done. The way they played segment one, Holus Bolus, timed it to Sydney, came in live for segment two, and then had a finance update as a network's event, and then back to localised news. It was really, really well done, and I think that my hat is off to the people who made this happen. I don't overly agree with news being pre-recorded, Mulk, but I've got to say, they did it really, really well.
It's and they're going to need to keep doing it really, really well. The time differences that, you know, actually get more diabolical for Queensland because it will mean that for journalists that need to have a segment loaded, ready for that pre-record, Queensland time, it has to be in the can and ready to go for 3 p.m. during daylight
saving. Crazy, isn't it?
What happens if the story changes? What happens if it's a developing story? I mean, we already have journalists that have to go and camp out the front of a place where something happened yesterday to give us some colour.
Yeah, so maybe they'll stop doing
intro.
That. They'll actually catch the guy leaving the courthouse instead of, you know, being out the front of the courthouse at 7 p.m. when there's nobody there.
Yeah, but it'll have to be pre-recorded.
Right, Sarah, that live cross mania is an era that should well and truly pass because it serves no purpose. Do your pre-recorded segment on the court case. We do not need to cross to you live or live outside the courthouse hours after the judge, jury and accused are all safely tucked up in bed.
It's the most ludicrous thing to see, you know, particularly in winter.
It's all bells and whistles.
To see
Come
the journalist standing out the front of, like, the police headquarters or the courts. It's dark. Earlier today, this happened in court, cut to the story that I did 6 hours ago.
But the important point about that is it costs a lot of money to have those broadcast vans out there doing that stuff.
You people.
Mean, Rob, just as a question, does this mean for Perth that they are running Perth live because it's well after the 5 o'clock news on the East Coast?
Don't know the answer to that. I'm trying to find that out, to be honest, Mog, because they still could pre-record it if they want to get crews out
800%.
Of Sydney. So my feeling is it's probably pre-recorded. Be nice if it was live.
And who loses in all of this? Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth markets. And that was always going to be the case.
Yeah, it's never Sydney and Melbourne that are having to do the pre-recorded segment. All right. Channel 7 will say goodbye to Plate of Origin, also known as Pooh, by playing the final two episodes back-to-back on Tuesday, 22nd of September, creating a supersized three-hour event. The network had high hopes for the show after the signing of former MasterChef judges Gary Meehan, Matt Preston, and along with Channel 7 favourite Manu Fidel. Brookie, this one did not leave a good taste in viewers' mouths. No chance it'll be back again, right?
No, it's fascinating, isn't it? We've had a cooking show which completely replaced its judging panel and everyone loved it, i.e. MasterChef. and then a new cooking show with some well-established stars that was a bit dead on arrival. So yeah, there's, a lot dead on arrival. Thank you, Malk. I think it's interesting, isn't it? For me, it was too long, a 90-minute reality show. On that first episode, all sorts of problems were apparent. And I think that 7, but also 9, must just look across at MasterChef and wonder, year after year, they keep trying, how they can replicate its success.
Well, My Kitchen Rules did for a long time, Ben. You know, My Kitchen Rules took the MasterChef formula, turned it on its head, and became a huge success, but it's run out of steam.
Yeah, but I think the authenticity is missing. You know, I think the thing about MasterChef that always resonated is great casting, really good editing, sticking to the food, and making sure that you're turning in quality viewing that the family can all watch, and then doing it as a neatly tight package. When it came to Plate of Origin, it was overblown. It went for too long. The judges have kind of had their day, and people are a little bit tired of that. You know, I also didn't feel like those judges were ever going to bring what they told the network they were going to bring, because that's what they did. They took it to 7 and said, we're going to bring you this, and they really just didn't deliver that. And I must admit, I still think casting is key, and I just felt that I didn't resonate with any of the personalities or people that they cast onto Plate of Origin. And like Rob as well.
You mean the contestants, Ben, or do you mean the judges didn't gel?
You know, Brookie, I'm going to say that I think it's right across the board. I think
really?
That the casting...
Really? I like the judges.
You know, I just...
I'm with Ben on the judges. I thought they were a bit, remember when Manu, you came and auditioned for MasterChef and you nearly got in but you didn't get in and we're pretty great and, okay, now leave your food. That was basically what they sat around doing for 90 minutes.
We did talk about this at some length on this most recent episode of TV Binge Box.
Oh, Malk, I'm recycling my material.
He's
Don't
allowed
tell them.
To do that.
Don't
He's tell them. That's a promo to Binge Box,
giving
which you're entitled
my secrets.
To.
Oh, no. You get much greater insight from Bookie and the rest of us if you want to go and download that. The challenge is, as we've all said, that for Plate of Origin, it really just came down to being a vehicle for the three hosts, and it looked like that the casting for the rest of the actual show, the people that were the competitors, was done by an amateur. It just, nothing really felt like it gelled within the show format. And we saw the writing on the wall when they shrank it from, what was it, 20 episodes down to 10 after the show had been announced. That wasn't just budget cuts. Like, you shrink it to a three of its budget, to cut it in half, is this format isn't going to work.
Yeah. Fair point. Well, speaking of Binge Box, guys, I want to do my own quick clap and slap that you guys have.
Well, you have to come because, and visit us on the show.
Well, I'm happy to do that.
It's been trademarked, Robert, but we'll let you just this once.
But never been invited. But I have to say, I've seen two great shows that I just have to mention. I need to put this out into the world somewhere. Dez, which is on Stan, which I've had a preview of, which goes Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. It uploads to Stan over 3 nights.
9 a.m.
It is phenomenal. It's at it's about Dennis Nilsson, who is a serial killer in the UK. And the way they do this, it's not gratuitous, it's not violent, it is just simply compelling, and you should see it. And the other one is, turning completely on its head, Teenage Bounty Hunters on Netflix, which is just one of the best series I've seen in a long time, because you think you know what it's going to be. It's like a Buffy, you know, you think you know where it's heading, except this thing turns on its head and goes in directions you didn't see coming, and is someone involved in Orange is the New Black is part of this production. And so I just say that to give you some idea of how different it is to what you might expect on what has Teenage Bounty Hunters, and how it looks, might sound like some throwaway thing. I've loved it. Binged the whole first season. But if you want the real insight into all your television viewing habits, of course, go to TV Binge Box every week, where you can get the inside information.
Thank TV you, Binge Robert, Box. And thank you for your audition.
Maybe you'll invite me on one day. Now it's time for Hatches and Dispatches with Sarah.
We'll call you.
Thanks, Rob. 10 has confirmed Georgie Coughlin and Stephen Quatermain as the new hosts for its four-day Melbourne Cup coverage. The event will take on a very different look in 2020. It's currently unconfirmed if crowds will be able to attend Melbourne's biggest race day as stage 4 lockdowns continue in the city. TV Black Box can exclusively reveal that the new multi-channel 10 Shake will launch Sunday, 27th of September on Channel 13 in metropolitan markets, the first weekend of the school holidays for many states. The new channel, hinted at by our own Steve Malk at TV Black Box exactly 12 months ago, will be mixed with kids programming during the day and guilty pleasure programming at night. 7 West Media has announced the appointment of Shoebridge Knowles Media Group to define and drive the group's corporate communications and publicity strategies, working alongside 7 West Media's existing team. The strategic communications consultancy was established in May 2018 by partners Neil Shoebridge and Andrew Knowles. The move means Julia Lafort, appointed Director of Corporate Affairs and Publicity at the start of the year, has departed 7. The ABC has appointed former executive editor at The Guardian, Lee Glendinning, as the head of content curation and platforms in its regional and local division to manage the delivery of content to metropolitan, regional and rural audience. And SBS has announced the appointment of Matthew Hancock to the role of general manager, SBS On Demand. And that is this week's Hatches and Dispatches.
Thank you, Sarah. Coming up, the radical idea to shake up the Australian TV industry forever. Plus, the juiciest gossip this side of Sunday as we open the TV Black Vault. TV Black Box, we'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the most talked about TV show that's not on TV.
And I think you guys are amazing.
With raw, honest opinions.
This was not a mistake. This was a lie.
Exclusive stories.
Some industry insiders have been talking about this.
Is that a Ben Robin Robbo exclusive?
And plenty of famous faces.
I'm not wasting these gold moments on 60 Minutes.
The Ben Robin Robbo Show is the new way to stream your news.
This is the stuff that headlines are made of.
Live every Monday to Thursday at 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on Ticker TV or Facebook and Twitter at BRR Show. Watch live or on demand.
It's the Ben Robin Robbo, Ben Robin Robbo, Ben Robin Robbo Show.
All right, this week the SMH and Age ran a fascinating interview with Chris Oliver Taylor, the Asia Pacific Chief Executive Officer of Fremantle. Oliver Taylor says commercial TV networks should be allowed to move their Australian drama, children's and documentary content to their streaming or catch-up services, leaving their main channels for reality, entertainment, sports and news programming. He also says there should be incentives to entice entities like Netflix and Seven to work together. Brookie, this is audacious. Is this a way of not forcing the networks to run local drama?
I don't think that is his intent, because obviously he works for a local production company and he wants, very keen for the Australian local production industry to survive. So I think this is a clever idea from Oliver Taylor. I think we have a government that has sat on this issue for a very long time. We've seen that it's given quota relief due to the coronavirus. I think it's anti-quota. I think it's trying to work out a way that it can reduce quotas, particularly on children's, maybe on local drama, and it is trying to do that in a way that's going to cause it as few headaches as possible. I think I've heard that it has talked to execs, it has talked privately and pointed to the example in Britain where local British drama is as strong as ever, which is, well, that's just because it's Britain. Australia is a very different kettle of fish. I think Australia is quite vulnerable in terms of drama. Mm. The networks will wiggle out of as much of it as they can. They think that the revenue, to make take your point up from earlier, Rob, is in reality. And if you look at it, shows like Married at First Sight, they kind of are. They're like the sons and daughters of today. They have plot lines, they have storylines that go episode after episode. We know that the reality, in inverted commas, is often heavily constructed with different plot lines, and it's shaped by producers. So I think the local industry is very vulnerable, and hats off to Oliver Taylor. His idea basically is to move drama onto different networks, onto digital networks, say and still have it count towards that quota and blow up the quota system, make it more sophisticated, hopefully to save the local industry. But
what do we do, Brookie, about the fact drama doesn't rate?
Is his solution.
Yeah, but networks don't want to make it if it doesn't rate and they can't get revenue from it.
Well, that's... Sorry, Brookie, I'm jumping in. I apologise. This is where Chris Oliver Taylor is dancing a very delicate dance here, because as the man who runs one of the biggest production companies in Australia outside the commercial TV networks, he wants them to come to him to make programs, or he's got a pitch to them to get programs made. With no quotas, it's putting his business in jeopardy. However, by him saying, how about we allow them to do this, i.e. let's reinstate the quotas, but they don't want the quotas, but let's do it so and they can put it on their streaming services or catch up or whatever, tick, that'll out. Still means we have to make content. I still get work and they still meet their requirements.
But that's a huge outpouring of money for something that isn't going to be seen in the main game.
How do you pay for it? How do you pay for it?
Correct.
Do you know what I think is interesting, though? And that is, this was spoken about a few weeks back with somebody who I'd seen on Twitter, and that was, if we can get more drama made and good quality drama made and we don't have to lose that from our screens, can it be put onto the streaming services or catch up, you know, in digital means? Because,
but it
you
can
know,
be Halifax, now.
But Halifax doesn't need to necessarily, it didn't need to necessarily play on mainstream television, because a lot of its core audience ended up watching it, you know. Oh, did? I thought its catch-up was amazing.
And it is doing good business on catch-up for Nine. The challenge is that the amount of money that they paid to make it, they had to get the return on investment, and the way that they do that is by showing it with ads on free-to-air television, because the broadest audience gets to see it.
The catch-up advertising is not going to cover a drama.
Not yet.
Like Halifax.
Not yet. Like that... Because of how we introduced the whole catch-up process to Australia, it's and the way that the network sold advertising to it as a very much lesser system, it's kind of caught them off guard. Now, what Chris Oliver Taylor is promoting is great for 10 and great for 9 and shithouse for 7. Because guess what? They don't have a streaming service that they can put this drama on.
Well, that's why he suggested incentives for them to pair up with Netflix.
But they already doing
it's
that.
Too,
Netflix
it's
and the ABC
convoluted.
Are already doing that.
Yeah, you know, like...
But quotas don't apply to the ABC anyway, so that they're out of the picture as far as this is concerned.
Sure, but incentives to get those partnerships exist, they already exist. You've just got to get their attention with a good enough program.
Yeah, and you would argue that if you're judged by Australian audiences... We're not making good enough programs. Halifax has been the standout in a long time that viewers actually seem to be enjoying.
And in prime time ratings, it hasn't pulled anywhere near the numbers that we would have expected from
a delivering
drama.
There's a whole tier of drama that's disappeared, which is that early evening drama, which you might have said was police rescue, ACP, GP from decades ago. It was not as expensive to make as, say, a Halifax is, or a Between Two Worlds, which are extremely expensive. So you've lost a tier, and that's affected the economies of scale, because local drama is very expensive and they're not getting the return on that. But then the cheaper mid-tier drama that sits between these prestige productions and the soaps has just gone from the schedules. No one's really making it anymore. Those long-running series, they've gone.
And the difficulty, just in what you raised, Ben, about, you know, more good quality drama, it's become so subjective, you know? Who determines what the good quality drama is? Well, how many viewers turn up, or the executives that greenlight it and pay all of the money for it? I mean, in the olden days, we had a system where we could, to some degree, trust our executives and trust the critics that got access to it, and we built a relationship with them. Nowadays, everyone's a critic. Like, welcome to social media. So who do you trust? When Malk says this show is great, who cares? Unless you have proven over time from a critic's point of view that I like these things and this is why I like it, you go, yeah, I like the stuff that Malk likes, then I'll listen to him. But otherwise, no one cares what I think.
Okay, well, now it's time. Oh, can you hear it?
Oh, stop it. Hang on. What's that? What is that I hear? It is the angels calling, because this bullshit is killing me.
Alrighty, I'm going to reveal, because last week I only did two, because the third one was actually Sarah's, and Sarah was talking about not doing a reality TV show that she was asked to do because she couldn't make it to Australia. And just to give that some clarity, because that's what I'm giving away out of what I had last week, it was for Celebrity Apprentice.
Ah.
And I did go and I did also go and do some research on that,
yes,
to find out what it was. And it was Celebrity Apprentice.
Now, she's not going to confirm nor deny.
Does this mean that we have any insight as to who's been cast for it?
Well, not if Sarah. We did, there are some rules, Malk. If we know people personally that have been cast and they know information, we can't ever use it. So this is, the networks would be smart to put us under embargo for everything.
That's because right. Then tell we us wouldn't everything be able to so break we can't stories. Talk about it.
Well, my first one is going to be about casting. So this is number one. Channel 7 has signed up an ex-Big Brother star for Holy Moly.
Huh?
But who and which Bachelorette beauty has just turned them down?
Ooh.
So hang on, the person from Big Brother and a Bachelorette lady have turned them down.
No. The person from Big Brother is doing it, but a Bachelorette has turned them down.
Oh.
That's how
turned
I heard
it. Turned down the show or turned down
That's exactly
the
how it is.
Person. I've made this God, way
you have made this
Are you purposely
way
making this difficult?
Yeah, yeah. I misunderstood the connection. So the Bachelorette person was offered the job. They didn't take it.
A Channel 7 has signed
he
up.
He should have split it up.
Hang on a sec.
Ben, why don't you do that again and make them two separate sentences?
No, I don't need to do that because, as Brookie said, it is clear as my... Oh, yeah, that makes it sound bad. I thought he said something That's else and then it played back in my head.
As Brookie said, it's very... Oh.
You're
See,
so
this
pretty,
is what
Ben.
The podcast is about, is just to just have a few laughs.
No, I actually... Sorry, I'm retracting that. I perfectly understood what you said, Ben. Until everyone else started to interfere with the line of thought.
Sorry, I
Thank you.
Totally missed it.
I'll take it.
I had it understood completely. I wasn't
Same.
There.
It was only
How about you?
No, I got
she
it.
She got it.
Yeah.
I said I didn't get it.
Have another swig of Milo and then we'll perk up.
Okay, Kitty's had her milk. I'll read out the second one. Rumour has it this controversial player is nothing like anyone expected, and behind the scenes, they have become best mates with a lot of the producers. We might see a very different side to someone we very much know, but now we may very much love.
So are they currently in a show?
They are, yeah.
And
do I have to spell that one out now? I read these to my partner.
So you're saying it's
like,
someone who everyone thinks is normally an asshole, but it turns out they're actually a nice person?
Correct.
Ah. I didn't get that at all.
Right.
That could be no one.
Is this the
Maybe I should go back to vetoing these, Ben.
Okay. No, you probably should go back. No, these are really good. These are really good ones. Right. So thank you. I think the first one, basically I was tripwired by Malt because he was having his Milo or whatever it was.
Is one of them Rob McKnight?
Yes, they're all Rob McKnight. This week they're all Rob McKnight. Okay, no. When your contract is up, don't go on holidays. That's what they tell the entertainers. But for one person, they will be using their ninth life to go on a small trip that they're telling their bosses it's business.
They're not
Did you say
wife.
Ninth wife?
Life. Life.
Oh,
L-I-F-E.
I thought you said ninth wife.
Ninth
wife.
Heard
it's
wife.
Not...
Should we
no,
just start this
love?
Again?
Life. I heard life.
Thank you.
I
Thank you, Brookie.
Life. Is this your
Brookie's
brother?
Also desperate to finish the podcast. Alrighty. No, it is not Big Brother.
Well, Ben, I've got to say, I'm more confused than ever, but there you go.
Right.
That's what you bring to the table.
Can I close the black box with the sound effect?
Yeah, go for it.
Creek.
Okay, thanks. All the very best. Thanks for coming.
6 years at NIDA, Mock did, guys, and that's what you've got. All right, and that brings us to the end of another edition of TV Black Box. Don't forget, for all your television news, the latest exclusives delivered right into your interwebs, go to tvblackbox.com.au. Don't forget the podcast. Don't forget TV Binge Box. Don't forget the Ben Robin Robo Show and anything else we've got on the boil too. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Brookie. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Mock, and thank you, Sarah.
Au revoir.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.